Marquise Francis. Welcome to A Time for Change. I'm Marquise Francis, here with Alexis Christophorus. There's a new business model in the magazine publishing world. After 58 years, Sports Illustrated Swimsuit Edition announced that it will accept advertising only from companies with a proven commitment to gender equality. We'll hear from the editor-in-chief in just a moment, but first, let's take a look and quick listen to how Sports Illustrated is positioning this new program called Pay with Change.
Introducing Pay with Change. We're turning our ad space into a place that creates change for women, and all brands making progress can buy in. Because if we're not moving women forward, we're holding them back. Our goal? Change the cost of doing business from a dollar amount to the currency of doing good.
Well, I had the chance to speak with editor-in-chief MJ Day recently about why the magazine is making this change and what it stands to gain and perhaps lose.
So Pay with Change is our new advertising mandate, and that means we will only be allowing brands who help drive gender equity forward to be featured in the magazine's annual print issue, as well as across our entire digital platform. So it's a very exciting moment in time for us because I feel like it really brings the Sports Illustrated brand messaging ethos, you know, into a 360 purview, because we've been perpetuating really like celebrating the ideology of being using our power for good across all of our editorial, you know, platforms. And now really the entire brand, the threads throughout the entire thing, you know, we're going to be encouraging, you know, people to think that way about themselves, about what they can do for, you know, women empowerment, what they can do and put out there into the universe, you know, to be better, you know, and to do better. So we're really, really excited.
But, you know, advertising goes right to the bottom line of the publication. And I'm curious what Sports Illustrated Swimsuit stands to risk or stands to possibly lose with this new mandate.
Yeah, I mean, you know, like, listen, we're excited today to announce the launch of it. We don't know what that means and how this will translate. We do believe that this will be a revolutionary kind of industry change and shift. And, you know, any progress is good progress when you're speaking around, you know, women empowerment. And I think that it will take time, and we're not afraid of that. And we're committed to that. And I think the end game, we're all winning, you know?
So MJ, talk to me a little bit about the standards you're using to calculate whether a brand is, you know, driving gender equality forward, as you put it. And how do you plan to keep these brands and these companies accountable?
They have to prove that they are moving the conversation forward for gender equity. And that either can mean that it's a well-established program that's in place, or that can mean that they are, you know, creating and providing opportunities, you know, starting today. We know that these types of things take time, and we know that progress isn't perfect. And we know that, you know, sometimes we just need to take the leap and make a change and decide to make a change. And so that's what we're supporting now. But I think it's an evolution within itself. You know, I think a lot of people are going to bring ideas to us about what that means. And so it's one of encouragement and support and effort. And what we want to see is proof of that progress.
Now, I know the Sports Illustrated Swimsuit Edition is out in May. So you have a few months to go. I'm not sure if you already have advertisers locked in and if they've been made aware of this initiative yet. But do you anticipate, or have you gotten any pushback at all from advertisers? And sort of on the flip side of that, have you gotten some new unexpected advertisers out of this?
I say with great excitement that the response has been overwhelming. People are really excited about this initiative. It's only been positive, and I'm proud of the type of partners that we're attracting, because, you know, you see the like-mindedness in this effort, and it's thrilling, because I think the world and the industry has sort of been waiting for this moment, and I'm excited to be able to host it here, you know?
you know, MJ, I'm sure, you know, I'm not telling you anything new. You've seen the critics over the years. You've been with Sports Illustrated Swimsuit, by the way, for pretty much your entire career and worked your way up to editor-in-chief. So there are the critics out there who see the swimsuit edition as exploiting women and their bodies. What would you say to those who call this Pay with Change initiative ironic or maybe even hypocritical?
I would tell them that they haven't been paying attention. And I would tell them that since the inception of really the Sports Illustrated swimsuit issue, you know, we've been doing more than almost any other, you know, brand out there in terms of elevating women's platforms and giving them opportunities to be more than just, you know, a ... swimsuit model. It has been at the forefront of everything that we have been doing since my tenure at the helm of the brand. It's purposeful change. It is authentic and heartfelt change. And I would tell them that not to judge a book necessarily by its cover and apply that to how you feel about women in general, because you cannot make assumptions, you know, in the first glance of something. And this is what we're battling against too with this. We want to allow women and brands to be seen holistically and not just instantly categorized because of the first experience you've had with them.
Well, I think you have a unique perspective, you know, being in the role as editor-in-chief of Sports Illustrated Swimsuit since 2014, but you've been with the brand since 1998. So talk to us a little bit about how you've seen the narrative change around diversity and inclusivity at the publication.
When I came to be the editor in charge of the brand, that was my only initiative, was to have that conversation here and to pursue that. As a woman, you know, as a, at the time, as a 30 something year old woman who was never really anything smaller than a size 12, like, you know, I knew what we as women kind of were subject to by not having representation, you know, around us in mainstream media. And I also knew that the ideals of beauty were very, very subjective. And so for me specifically, I felt it was a great responsibility possessing the power that this brand does to be as inclusive and as representative as we could be. I do have a very unique perspective, and it is very much a personal passion of mine. And I do think we can take this over into the publishing side of things as well and make a great deal of change there, because, you know, the more good we can do with this power and the more brands we can encourage to do the same, the better this industry and this landscape will be, not just for business, but just for everyone. So
I know that last summer you had that pioneering photo shoot with trans model Lana Bloom. What was public response to that, viewership response to that, and also advertising response to that?
I mean, I think universally the world stood up and just, you know, gave Lena and our brand a long, slow clap, because it's long overdue, you know, that recognition and inclusion of that nature is, you know, has been celebrated. And we've had nothing but support for Lena, for that beautiful cover, for that conversation. And, you know, Lena and Valentina Sampaio, very much a part of this brand and this family. And I'm so happy with the reaction and the support that, you know, has been shown to us and them.
Tell us briefly what this gender equity fund at Sports Illustrated Swimsuit is about. What types of organizations stand to benefit from it?
So the SI Swimsuit will create the gender equity fund, and that's where a percentage of the total 2022 ad dollars will go towards funding women's equity and advancement. And essentially we're putting our money where our mouth is, and we'll be working with multiple brands that, you know, support and promote progress for women.
And finally, I know we said earlier, it's a few months away still, that May issue, but I know you are fast at work. What can we expect? Any surprises, anything that you can sort of reveal to us in this swimsuit edition?
Alexis, so many surprises. I mean, I think it's going to be a beautiful issue. I think it's going to be a really unique issue. I think people are going to walk away from this year feeling just as inspired and as excited and surprised as ever. And I think a lot of people are going to see themselves in a lot of different ways in this issue.
And again, that Sports Illustrated Swimsuit Edition is due out in May. We'll, of course, be watching to see how that new ad program is put into practice. Still ahead here on A Time for Change, how the modeling industry is changing from someone on the inside. Welcome back to A Time for Change. The modeling industry has not always been kind to women, both women in the modeling industry and the rest of us looking at images from the outside. But a new generation is working to make it a kinder, gentler industry for all of us. Iskra Lawrence is a model, social media influencer, and entrepreneur who just launched her own skincare line. And Yahoo Finance's Ali Canal was able to speak with her about how she's managed to build a thriving career on her own terms.
As someone who has always been an advocate for self-love and self-acceptance, as a model, it was very challenging because I was met with a lot of barriers. And namely, I was trying to be a straight size model and I was always too big. And then when I tried to see if I could be a plus size model, they said I was too small. So my mission began with trying to change the industry. And it's beautiful seeing kind of the results. I mean, I've been modeling now 18 years and seeing that there is so much more inclusivity in the modeling world. And that translates so much to me when we talk about body care, because a lot of my self-image, you know, issues stemmed from what I saw, the models who I saw representing brands, the messages that I was consuming. And so for me, I always knew that my end goal was creating brands that really truly cared about inclusion, the message they were spreading, and the images that they were portraying. So for me, a body care brand made total sense. And Solterre's tagline is "Everybody is welcome here," because we truly want everyone to feel welcome. And you know, this beautiful serum body wash right here, that is a product that everyone is putting on their bodies every single day. So it was my chance to get to people while they're literally washing their bodies every single day and hopefully give them those little reminders that they are enough, that they are worthy of taking just 5 minutes to themselves every day, and that their bodies are beautiful just the way they are.
And to follow up on a point you made, you said you were rejected from mainstream agencies for being too big and plus size agencies for being too small. I'm curious the lesson there beyond the world of modeling. How do you fit in when you're constantly being told that you don't? Because I do think a main issue today is imposter syndrome.
Yeah, that's true. I think that everyone at some point in their lives has not felt enough. No matter what career they're in, whatever community you're in, we're just pulled in multiple different directions about the type of person that we should be and that we should look like. So it's really, really tricky when you're trying to build your self-worth, if it's based or any value system based on appearance. So that's one thing I've worked really hard to try and encourage people to step away from and instead try and build a value and worth system that is based on their characteristics or their talents or the things that they put into the world. So one thing I like to do is a mirror challenge where I use it for like a self-affirmation tool. And I also done a show on Facebook called Mirror Challenge, where I get people who have had self-esteem issues, body image issues, abuse issues, to get in front of the mirror and break down the definition that they might currently have about how they view themselves or the value system they might place on their worth. Maybe they're brave, maybe they're creative, maybe they're funny, maybe they're the life of the party. And those little tools, even though they could seem throwaway, it is the narrative that you tell yourself every single day. I'm telling you, you've got to speak to yourself like your best friend would speak to you. And that's a decision that you've got to make every single day, to speak to yourself in a loving, kind way.
And speaking of the illusions of appearances, you have nearly 5 million followers on Instagram. What's your relationship with social media? Because on the one hand, you're able to reach so many people, but on the other, it is the cause of a lot of self-doubt, anxiety, a lot of mixed messaging when it comes to how to love yourself. So how do you navigate that when it comes to sifting through all that noise, not getting caught up in it, while also trying to appear as authentic and genuine and not performative as possible?
Yeah, I think that's such a valuable question, because that's something that this generation is really trying to figure out. how they use social media in a positive way, but have boundaries set so that it doesn't kind of consume them and make them fall into this compare and despair. So my biggest thing is I try and think of like a consume and create ratio. As someone whose business is obviously very much based online and the communities that I'm building with self-funding and Solterre are very much online, I have to figure out when I'm creating or when I'm just consuming and making sure that that's more balanced, because I feel productive, I feel accomplished, I feel like I'm putting something good into the world over just consuming, where I can go in this downward spiral where I'm just like, I don't know, 10 Instagram pages and thinking, why am I not in Bora Bora, or why I'm, you know, don't get to work out every single day and have an 8-pack anymore because I'm so busy with my toddler and these businesses.
And a lot of what you express to your followers stems from your experience in the modeling world. You had to forge your own path when doors were shut, often taking jobs with little to no pay, which can be a tricky mindset. I think especially, you know, as women, you're like, okay, let me just put myself out there, get myself in the door. Hopefully the money and the opportunities will follow. But how did you balance exploitation versus forging your own path?
Great question. I did not navigate it very well at the beginning. I would say from the age of 13, when I started modeling, up until the age of 23, I would say I was definitely getting exploited. I was definitely working for free. I was definitely signing a lot of rights away to my images. One time I did a shoot with a photographer who had me sign away my rights to my images. And not long after, I saw them used in huge billboards on a really famous gym in the UK. I saw them used in a big drugstore promoting toothpaste, which would have been, you know, thousands and thousands of dollars. And I signed those images away, all of them, for the £300. So I've learned a lot. Unfortunately, I think there is still a lack of protection from modeling agencies in general. I'm not saying anyone's in specific. I found a great agency now and I feel really secure, but there are people fighting. I don't know if you've heard of Sarah Ziff, but she has the Model Alliance, and I absolutely love the work they do because she's fighting for legislation to protect models. So there's definitely, there's not much transparency in the modeling industry. I personally felt like I was employed by them, where in a matter of fact, actually, you're the model, you're the client, and you pay the agency a commission. So I found that the more I grew online, I was able to essentially have a leverage because I knew that brands wanted to work with me, and I was able to then go back to agencies and I was able to, you know, call out things in the contract that didn't make sense anymore or say that I would prefer to work in this way. And I realized that I'm actually the client here. And it's really important for models to know that they do have a voice. We are definitely made to feel like if you're difficult, you won't work. And I've heard many stories about models who have been difficult and then they get put on the middle seat of a plane. Or if a client calls, they won't be the model that's, you know, bigged up on the phone. They won't be the model that gets the booking. So there's a lot of politics within the industry.
I want to shift gears here a bit because you have a mixed race baby who is so cute, by the way. I know that after the murder of George Floyd, you posted a lengthy Instagram about protecting your child and educating yourself as a privileged white woman. Where are you in that journey? And how has raising a biracial child influenced your parenting style so far?
Oh my goodness. It has completely shifted my perspective. I have had a privileged life. And up until I met Philip and we lived together, and I really truly got to spend 24 hours a day with someone who has a completely different life experience to me, who is part of the Black community, and witnessing his thought process and what he has to deal with every single day. That's when it really hit home, just how it's a choice. I was able to choose when I thought about racism. One of the first things we did was, even before he was born, was go and obviously find books that would feel like he could be represented, that we could discuss race with him, books that we've also encouraged our friends within our friendship group who have white children. The experiences they're going to have are going to be completely different. Or at least right now, while my baby's cute and a toddler, how that is different in society to when he's a teenager and out late at night and wearing a hoodie or in a group of people. Like, there's going to be so many different challenges that will be different for us raising a biracial child. And I'm already aware because we bought some Duplo this Christmas and there was white characters and there was only one black boy. And immediately my toddler said, "It's me, mommy." So there is this just constant challenge of just being aware and having these open conversations from day one with our child and with my partner about how I'm doing. What can I do more? Can we make sure that we're going to a church that's diverse? We're having these conversations consistently.
All right. That was some great perspective there. That was Yahoo Finance's Ellie Canal talking to model, influencer, and entrepreneur Iskra Lawrence.
Welcome back to A Time for Change. We've been talking today all about changes in how women are represented in the public eye. The toy giant Mattel just released its latest in the Inspiring Women series from Barbie. Ida B. Wells was a journalist, suffragist, and civil rights activist. She was also one of the founders of the NAACP. Wells was born in Mississippi in 1862, and as a journalist, wrote about the lynchings at a time when few newspapers would. In 2020, she was awarded a Pulitzer Prize for, quote, her outstanding and courageous reporting on the horrific and vicious violence against African Americans during the era of lynching. The Ida B. Wells dolls just hit store shelves in preparation for next month's Black History Month. That's all for this week's A Time for Change. I'm Marquise Francis.
And I'm Alexis Christophers. Thanks so much for watching. We've got lots more Yahoo Finance Live straight ahead. We promise to continue to ride this stock market roller coaster with you. Also, the CEO of Okta will be joining us. So don't go away.